2005 college training in Montreal, Canada, with Brother Titus Chu. David, the man after God's heart. Message 9.
Okay, we cover Roman numeral 4, right? Smiting Palestinians to save Keilah. Then eventually he can't trust them. Then he went to wilderness. He went to wilderness with 4 stages. I can go with action real fast. You also get message 6 now, right? Do you? You don't? Okay, well, after I finish, we can pass it up if we still have time. Point 8, remaining wilderness, because there's no place you can go now. If you consider the picture, it will be like this. Here is a good land. This part is Ammonite. You have a word, whatever. This part is Philistines. The major part is this little. Actually, the good land is already very, very small. Even in that small good land, they occupy very, very little space. You know, so the Lord raised up the king, develop the country. Now, David was somewhat, suppose here, that is before he went there. Let's just about the wilderness. Suppose he was in Keilah, right? In Keilah, he was somewhat here. Then, I believe, Zeph is just a little bit underneath it. Zeph, am I right? Then after Zeph, then he went to point B, in the stronghold of Engedi, which is by the lake. You know what I mean? Then surely he down southward to the wilderness, of what? Of Paran, right? Then that is really in wilderness. In other words, their highest place was Dan, that's north, right? The lowest place should be Beersheba. Remember when we talk about the years ago, when we talk about the life of Isaac. We talk about how he recovered. Beer means well of Sheba, right? Now, Beersheba somewhat here. It's south of Beersheba. You know, so it's way out. Today you drive the car, maybe one day. But at that time, it's really something, right? With the road, with everything. So eventually come to the real wilderness where he married a wife. Could you believe in that? And then he come back to Cephas, that is somewhat here. That's where he really gets sold. Then he run away to that old friend, the one who chased him out. You know, he pretend to be mad. Now he went to him with 600 men, tell him, I'm more than clear. Give me a city. And they gave him a city. So he had a city somewhat in this place. Because the city is so south, that's why the Ammonites is able to come to capture everyone in his household, including his 2 wives and all his children. Do you get it? So eventually, David, at the time juncture when Saul died, he came back and he ran after this, how do you say that word? Whatever that is, a kite. Okay, he ran over this kite, and praise the Lord, he gained the victory. Then he went to Hebron, go back again to Hebron. Hebron somewhat here. Go back to Hebron, become the king. So now he has big journeys. He was established. He has to run to the wilderness, then run to the wilderness, and run to the wilderness, and come back in the wilderness, then go to Gentiles. These are his experiences. Under what? Why? Because of the persecution he experienced through Saul. Now, number one, he went in the wilderness of Ziph. Ziph means what? And David went. How come you didn't put the meaning of Ziph there? Ziph means floating.
Flowing.
In other words, it's not settled. You know what I mean? Means it's no settling, not settled. So in the wilderness of Ziph, And David remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph, and God delivered him not into the hand of Saul. Saul sought him every day. I tell you, it's interesting, huh? When you are your religion, when you are your religion, you fight much harder than anything on this earth. You know the competition in the economic world. They like competitors. Do you understand what I mean? For instance, there's a Sears. They like there's a Penny. When there's a Kmart, they like there's Walmart. And the Walmart now is waiting for another march to come up to beat up Walmart. Otherwise, they will be in corruption. They know that if there's no competitor, you cannot do well. In the political world, there will never be enemies. There will never be friends. It's all interests. Do you get my point or not? Whatever the party makes no difference. One day, if you can help me get elected, I will use you. And one day, I will help you to get elected. You should use me. Only in religion. In religion, when brother try to get you, oh Lord Jesus, they really are hard. They sought after you every day. Oh, anyway, Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Then his hand, what's interesting, because the wilderness here, I draw a line, right? Here is Ziph, right? Here is Ziph. Right by Ziph, there is a piece of wood. He was running into the woods because in the woods, it's very hard for people to find you. I don't understand this verse. How come Jonathan find him? Why Saul cannot find and Jonathan can? Do you get my point? So eventually, his hand was strengthened in God by Jonathan, the son of Saul. And Jonathan, Saul's son, came and went to David into the woods and strengthened his hand in God. It's interesting, huh? Jonathan is the one due to be the king. Am I right? Yet he says, I don't care if I should be a king. David, I'm with you. Jonathan is more spiritual than Saul. Do you get my point? But even that, the Lord didn't keep Jonathan. You know why? Because the Lord do not like us to have any relationship fleshly. Oh, the Lord is a hard Lord. But anyway, Jonathan came. Then secondly, he went to the stronghold of En-Gedi. What is En-Gedi? It's a fountain of a kid. K-I-D. You know what is a kid? A kid can be a lamb. A kid can be a goat. A kid can be a gazelle. Do you get my point? All babies. Baby, lamb, baby, goat, baby, gazelle. Oh, you know, after he read, firstly, when you are running away from somebody, do you get my point? You were just like a floating guy. Every day, nervous. Oh, someone reported, Saul was there. Then you got some, Saul was here. And then you heard some, Saul was here. You see, floating, like as if. Then eventually, you go by whatever the sea. Now, then you go to come to En-Gedi. At this time, through all this running away, I think in the running process, he prayed a lot. He may write many hymns, psalms, and some may say, oh, how come my enemy are so many? How come I cannot get any help? How come they want to take my life? How come? He has all kinds of hymns written. Eventually, one day he wrote a hymn. How good you are. You are my savior. How terrible I am. I am a goat. And how marvelous your accomplishment. You are a gazelle. Do you know the three aspects? Every Jesus lover, young sister, every Jesus lover should know the three aspects. I'm happy. You know, your testimony shows the three aspects. Number one, the Lord is so good. Number two, I'm so terrible. Number three, with the good Lord and terrible me, there is a resurrected Christ to be responsible our life.
Amen.
Isn't that good? You think he's floating, running? Hey, finally, he sat down. He said, "Yeah, I wake up. I don't have to float like this. Yes, my enemy is very scareful. Yes, he's very powerful. But there's no need to be afraid. Because my Lord, who is the Lamb of God, is such a Savior. And I am so unworthy, just an ugly goat." Have you ever seen goat? Do you know the difference between goat and lamb? Young sister, do you know? Oh, you really are a city girl. You know, in Africa, when I was in Africa, I don't know what's happened. Africa has a lot of goats. Goats, you know, what goats produce is very precious. The cashmere is from goats. The wool is from lamb. So the real expensive stuff are from the terrible guys. Do you realize or not? This is a spiritual principle. When you behave so well, I'm a good sister. The most you are wool, you produce wool. When you are a naughty boy, naughty girl, terrible sister, yet violent before the Lord, I want to gain Christ, you would produce cashmere. Goat is dirty. You know, goat eats everything. If there's a paper, he eats the paper. If you have a cloth, he eats the cloth. If there's some garbage, he eats the garbage. I don't know why. A kind of same gene with branch or whatever, with lamb. When it's so clean, so helpless, that's the Lord, right? He's so clean, so helpless. That's why people can nail him on the cross. Such a one. Then at the same time, in the same branch, there is a goat. They look alike. Goat has a little horn. Lamb doesn't. That's the difference. And goat's fur doesn't look that good. They're pretty ugly. And lamb's beautiful. But for some reason, you know, brother, when you really were running around, eventually you say, no need to run anymore. I like that sister said. I go back. It doesn't mean my rent is paid. So sister, move out to a sister house so you don't have to pay rent. And then I don't know if my telephone bill is paid. And talk with them. I'll pay out to you gradually. Don't just run away. Have a good credit. You know, brothers and sisters, I like what that sister says. Eventually, I trust the Lord. I come to Engedi. I begin to wonder, what's the use to be at Sif? Running around. I like to be settled a little bit with knowing Christ as my Savior, with knowing myself as what? Just a big flesh. Then with knowing what? The baby gazelle. The kid can also be a gazelle, which typifies the resurrected Christ. The Lord came as a gazelle. Do you get my? He is in resurrection. Oh, brother, I like that picture. Some of you love the Lord for many years, never know the lamb, never know you are a goat, and never know the lamb you believe in, you received, is also a gazelle. He is a Savior, and you are terrible. And is your resurrection responsible for all your life? It is in this place he become much more restful. So he more like says, well, if Saul should find me, then let him find me. So number one, tried by the Lord, that Saul was put into his hand. You know, when he was running away from Saul, right? Saul was so powerful. When he become restful, enemy come. Then you look at him. Wow. Do you know the Bible is interesting, right? He was using the restroom to show how dirty the enemy can become. Everything come out is stinky. I don't like to overly develop it. But the Bible is interesting. That's the first time. Oh, I'm running away from the enemy. Then when you really see the enemy, it's like that. Do you get my point or not? And so what's like that? So here, let me just read the point to you. We can go over. Tried by the Lord, and the man of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto the Lord, behold, I will deliver the enemy into thy hand, and thou mayest do to him it shall seem good unto thee. So then what? So he saw Saul, right? So he cutting off the skirt, which means a wind. Cutting off the skirt, which can also be translated into wind. Cutting off his wind of the robes of Saul. Saul was using the restroom, right? So he cut off his wind. You know, once any great person, the wind cut off, he can't fly anymore. It's very simple. In other words, David is telling Saul, outwardly, you are chasing me all the time. Let me tell you, you cannot fly over me. You are the one chasing me around, but I'm the one in control. How good is that? Do you understand what I say? You are the one chasing me around, but I'm the one in control. That's why he cut off the skirt of the robe of Saul. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. Then what? So he experienced after that. I feel he really did the right stuff. You know what I mean? Cut off skirt. Then he really doesn't have to wait Saul finish. He just say, Saul, get up. Look. Your wind is here. From now on, don't fly. Do you know who are you, stupid? He should, right? But no. Right after that, he said, oh, you know, I look at your brother's testimony. I don't see a lot of Even seems most of your testimonies are argument logically. Logicking, is that English? Logically means arguing. Try to reasoning. Maybe that's good. Most of your testimony are reasoning with the Lord. You know, I want to do this, I don't feel peaceful, then I tell the Lord, then the Lord told me, then I don't feel so, or I feel so, then I tell the Lord again. Brother, these are our best sisters, best brothers. Because most brothers and sisters, whatever happened, never tell the Lord anything. And just tell, sister, as you said, right? I can make it! Make it! Eventually, your shoulder has problem. You know, brother, this is already very good. Have you ever been, hear the word, has ever been smiting? The verb should be smite?
Smite or smitten.
Smite. Have you ever been smitten by the Lord once to show who really you are? Do you get my point or not? I go to the Lord. This is a real story. I go to the Lord. What's my practice? I have a habit when I was young. Pray on the set time. In the set time, I go to the Lord. I begin to pray. And I begin to confess my sin. You know, that day was peculiar. It's no longer a reasoning process. Lord, I did this. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. The Lord, I did that. I'm wrong. Forgive me. The Lord, I'm still in need of this. I prayed for 3 months. You haven't answered yet. You owe me. But at the same time, Lord, I still have to confess. I didn't pray earnest enough, so forgive me. But if I were more earnest, you would answer faster. Am I right? Because you are faithful. Oh, if you cannot prove you're faithful to me, how can I follow you? But I like to follow you. Did you find out a man? He's so funny. His reasoning with Christ and put the Lord and him at the same level. Call him the Lord and want to run over him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Young sister, do you know what I'm talking about? Many times you say, Lord Jesus, let me tell you, I really need this. Do you? Actually, you have never asked, do you really need it right now? Like, okay, I use a sister as illustration. She got SAT. What good blessing. She didn't do well. If I were him, sister, where are you? Yeah, if I were you, I would enjoy that. I would say, Lord Jesus, I cannot tell you how thankful I am. In my life, I did well. And this once, you let me realize I just can't make it. Lord, please make it further. When I apply schools, let every school reject me. So I have to go to a community college. Because community college can never reject anybody, right? Because it's like a public school. As long as you graduate from high school, they got to accept you. Lord, I pray earnestly. I look unto you. Have mercy upon me and send me to the worst school that a man can get into. I tell you, now you know who is the Lord. Eventually, the Lord may send you to Harvard. Who knows? But you pray for a community college. Look at your prayer. Lord Jesus, I didn't do well. It's coming again. Lord Jesus, I want you to be with me. Of course, you speak much more polite. You say, please be with me. It's the same thing, right? I want you to be with me. Give me a peaceful heart. Because you gave me a peaceful heart, therefore, when I go through the test, even the things I don't understand, I begin to apprehend. So my question will all be right. And then, when the glory is going to you, my father, my parents will be so honored, and I will be okay. So eventually, Lord asks, after all your prayer, you pray for what? You pray for me, or for your parents, or for yourself? You see, we are interesting person. We always, in the good way, we always say, Lord Jesus, we look unto you. Step right on top of him. Lord Jesus, let me tell you, I'll not let you go. You belong to me. You belong to me. You said you belong to me. I'll consecrate myself and I occupied you and you are occupied by me. Lord Jesus, listen to my prayer. Poor Jesus who say, would you give me a little freedom? Or even the court, both sides have opportunity to say something. Now you speak everything. Anything I don't do accordingly, I'm not faithful, I'm not righteous, I'm not trustworthy, I'm in trouble. Anything I do according to you, bless to me because you're happy. When did you ever love me? When did you ever trust me? Do you get my point or not? You know, brother, this is why a Christian in following the Lord need the experience. Sometimes, through some incidences, Lord come to expose you. You have gazelle, like David. He experienced gazelle. I'm with the resurrected Christ. There's nothing I need to be fearful. I will settle here and let the enemy come. So Saul came. Then he found out Saul is just stinky and ugly. So he went there, cut off the skirt, which is wind, right? So according to David, now from now on, you can fly. But he still flies. You know why? David gave it back to him. Right? Then David was smitten by God. The feeling was, how can I be like this? As I told you, I have the habit, I pray. So I prayed once. I was clear. I remember that clear. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. So I began to think something, as some sin, S-I-N, that I need to confess. Then for some reason, I feel that's not enough. So I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know what's happened. I am no good. You must have mercy. Lord, if I have something that is sinful, worldly, yet hidden, would you please give me light so I have a chance to repent? Oh, brother, the more I pray, then the more I realized, wow, what a awful, what a rebellious, what a sinful person I am. You know, eventually I prayed very long. And when I finally finished my prayer, I found that I was laying on the ground. Then I began to understand why Old Testament always says, so and so laying on the ground. I was laying on the ground. How come I lay here? Because I have no more strength to sit, to stand, even to kneel down. I began to realize, oh, what a sinner. What an evil person I was. And how I need Lord's mercy.
Amen.
You know, since that time, I have a greater understanding of confessing who you are. I have a greater appreciation of how marvelous the Lord is. Brother, here he experienced the smiting of his own heart. Then come pass afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He realized, I didn't act. This very act is not one with the desire of the Lord. Lord has anointed him. If the Lord has anointed him, the Lord is responsible for his need, for his person, for his deeds, not me. Do you get my point or not? You know, in the church life, this is a hard thing. Sister Martin, am I right? When you just look around, this one's a jerk. I still don't understand what jerk means. What does jerk mean? Okay, so this is irritating. That brother is a jerk. And that brother is a nut. And that sister is a what? I tell you, when you look around, then I tell you, that's not so bad because that's still confidential, right? But every brother have a few, our sister, especially sister, have a few so-called close gossiping companion. So one day, all of a sudden, that sister says, oh, you know that brother so-and-so. Oh, brother, sister, you don't know he's a jerk. You know, what do you mean by a jerk? A jerk is a jerk. Oh, how about the other sister? She is a nut. Now, what do you mean by nut? A nut is a nut. Brother, after not so long, all the God's children were damaged by you. Do you realize? In the church life, we do not honor the Lord and honor the Lordship over all the sins. He stands, he fell. He grow, he delay. The Lord is his Lord.
Amen.
You can give yourself to them, but you are not in the place to criticize them. You know, in a way, every brother was in God's heart. The Lord desires to lead many sons into glory.
Amen.
Am I right? So here, brothers, now, David is really bothered by his heart. Then he acknowledged by Saul. Then he cried to Saul. Then acknowledged by Saul that he shall surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be as slap in his hand. This is unusual, because when he showed Saul, now here's your skirt. If I want to kill you, I can kill you. Saul was very moved. Was moved, so eventually he said, and now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king. In other words, I know Jonathan will not be. I know my kingdom will end up in your hand. I know well that you shall surely be king, and that the king of Israel shall be established in thy hand. Actually, he even called David his son, my son. Then, another thing happened. I like it. Samuel died. You see, Titus, how can you love Samuel die? You know, brother, if he's not in Gedi, he's not at Engedi, he cannot suffer Samuel die. In Ziph, where he was floating, somewhat he still feel Samuel was there. Do you get my point? In case of desperate need, I still can go him because at least he can get everybody to be a prophet. So get me out of the problems. Do you get my? Then it's for you. He has so much knowing the Lord, so much knowing himself, so much knowing the resurrection of Christ. At this time, Samuel died. In other words, the Lord told him, David, from now on, you have to be only responsible to me and to me alone. Amen. Isn't that good? The next, down south word to the wilderness of Paran. You know, what is Paran? Actually, they are in the wilderness now. You know, Paran was the place before the Israelites get into a good land. They go through these places. In other words, it's south of Beersheba. It's really south. It's really desert, wilderness. So you come to the real wilderness. But it's interesting. Paran in this wilderness place is a place of caverns, which is common, right? That means there's some mountains. And also ornament. And also beauty. And eventually glory. This is the meaning of the word. In other words, when you come to this place, outwardly, you would experience something more than unpleasant. But eventually, you realize some beauty is here. Then eventually you realize, out of the beauty, some glory is here. That's where, in this place, where he married Abigail, the wife of Nabal, where he already had Abinoam of Jezreel. That means already he has one wife. Now he married another wife. I better read this portion to you, because when I give you messages, I can see that you feel tired. You like to listen to stories, isn't it? Your brother and sister are so lovely. It's 1 Samuel chapter 25. Actually, this story is not much. It's just a simple story. Wow. It's a long chapter. Let's see. So Samuel died. That's where, right? Then verse 1. And all the Israelites were gathered together, mourned, and so forth. Let's just forget about it. Verse 4. Let me see. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal. Nabal means very stupid. And the name, I mean, just like our young people and some of the older ones, Nabal means not wise. And the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding. Isn't this normal? Many times wise lady marry a not so wise husband. Well, I think that's a blessing, right? You just think about it. A smart lady marry a smart husband, what kind of life they would have? They will have no peace all their life. So a good wife need to marry a husband not that qualified. Do you see, hear what I say? The one said amen. Because everyone says, no, I'm going to marry someone much better than me. He's handsome, he's young, he has 3 doctorate degrees, and he's an elder to be in the church. And when he gives a message, everybody weep. Brother, these kind of person have not yet been prefabbed by the Lord. So you can find them. Anyway, Abigail, he was a woman of good understanding. And of a beautiful countenance, smart inside, pretty outside. But the man was churlish, is that the way you pronounce it? And evil in his doing, it's pretty terrible. And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard of wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young man, get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Actually, it's not too honorable. In other words, David is like a gangster now. A gangster usually say, I protect you, you know, but you better give me something. Yeah, maybe he never made a sign a treaty, so maybe it's still something honorable. But anyway, Usually, I don't like this part. You want to watch them, you watch them. You don't watch them, leave them alone. Do you get my point? You don't do something, later say, why don't you give it to me, something. And thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace to thine house, and so forth. And verse 7, and now I've heard that thou hast shears, now thy shepherd, and that's okay. And verse 8, as a young man, and they will shew thee. Now, wherefore let the young man find favor in your eyes, for we come in a good days, give, I pray you, whatsoever comes to thy hand, and to thy servants, and to thy son David. He's very polite. Give us something, because we also need to live. Am I right? And we have protected you. And when David, young man, come and speak to him, and Nabal, verse 10, and Nabal answered, David's servant said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. I believe that's where David got offended. You are just an SKP. Is that English? Is that English? What does SKP mean?
Somebody that escaped.
Yeah, you are just an SKP. And you tell me you protect my property. Before you come, I was doing okay also. Do you get my point? I never need your protection. What kind of thing is this? So he really says something. I'm surprised he was that bold. I never dare say that because they have armor. I don't. But anyway, he's really stupid. So he says, there be many servants nowadays, break every man, away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearer and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? Oh, I tell you, he really had a good time. Don't you believe so? When he said this, he was so released. He didn't realize the result of release is getting very serious. Many times you want to lose your temper, go ahead. Because lose temper surely make you happy. But make sure you bear the consequences. You understand what I say? Sometimes just make sure you have a good time. But the reward is coming. Okay, so right after that, so David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those things. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. Really? Isn't David react a little bit too much too? Do you get my point or not? Look like I think David is so much out of food. He possibly needs something too. And they gird on every man his sword, and David also gird on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men. To kill that kind of guy, you need 400. You know what I mean? It's just hard to believe. I think David by himself is good enough. You start swing. When you see Nabal, pop, that's good. It's over. I don't know why. But anyway, he really make it like an army movement. 400 men and 200 above by the stuff, right? But one of the young men told Abigail, that's Nabal's wife, saying, behold, what? Huh? And the men were very, he testified, verse 15, but the men were very good unto us. When they were with us, they could take advantage of us. Not only they don't, they helped us. Brother, that is a principle of gospel preaching in campus or your neighborhood. They don't need your help, but you should show I'm willing to help. They may not need your protection, but you should show I'm willing to protect. This is what the Lord says. Someone wants you to go with 1 mile, you should go with them by 2 miles. Pay something extra. That the people will be gained. So eventually David gained a good wife. Am I right? The men were very good. Verse 15. The men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were convenient with, conversant with him when we were in the field. Here, then, verse 18, then Abigail made haste and take 200 loaves, two bottles of wine, and five sheep ready dressed, and 5 measure of parched corn, and 100 cluster of raisin, and 200 cakes of fig, and lay them on us. That's a lot of stuff. But think about 400 men, what can everybody get? You know, the sister here serving me, Montreal's name is Bethlehem. It's very rich in helping you, gives you, serving you food. I got all kind of food. Make me think about this. 400 men have this little. Everybody just have one bite. It's all over. Not too much. Because realize, more and more David is in need. Do you get my points or not? The provision of the Lord also have to increase. Yet, according to man's gift, this should be the most. You cannot give more than these things, right? And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal, because if she knows, if she tell him, the stubborn, stupid man would even get more upset, would cause more trouble, right? So eventually they meet each other on the way. Verse 23, when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. Then she made the good speech. That's the best prayer you could ever get from a young lady. It's a good prayer. You have to learn that. She's so honest, yet so kind. Do you get my point? So she said in this way, she said, where that, and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Firstly, please, everything's my fault. It's not my husband. Please, it's not my husband. It's all my fault. I was stupid enough to make my husband stupid. That's what it means here. Brother, many times, do you know when your young people messed up? When some parents come, or churches, elders from some other churches came, I heard this, I always have to answer, brother, it's all my fault. If they want to argue about the truth, I have a lot to say. But if they got offended, I'll just have to say, sorry, it's all my fault. Brother, if I say, what? You mean the young man was wrong? Let me get him in and spank him in your presence. Brother, the whole thing will be worse. Whole thing will be worse. Man, he's so wise. She's so wise. Don't you like that? I really like the way she prayed. I wish we all can learn to pray like this for ourselves and for the brother who are with us. She says, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thy audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of what? Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. In other words, his name is stupid. He's really stupid. You know, isn't he honest? He didn't say, what's my husband? Wait a minute, it's my husband. Sometimes, you know, some brother says, you're young people. You know, I can't say that. They're my young people. Leave them to me. You know, did you ever raise up young people? Do you know how to raise up young people? I know. Brother, even you know you mess up the whole thing. He's nice. I like this young lady. She said, oh, let me tell you, Nabal is his name, and the fool is with him. He's really foolish. Because Nabal means foolish. Could you believe a man named foolish? And the smart lady, beautiful, marry a man foolish. What a good match. Right? Then, is he, but I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. When you send these 10 people, he didn't say, you know, David, you send them to the wrong person. You send them to me, so everything's okay. You send them to stupid, how stupid you are. Do you understand what I'm talking about? If you're just a little bit wise, send it to me. No, he didn't say that. She just said in such a nice way, you know, I'm sorry that I didn't know this. They went to Nabal. Now, verse 26. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and thy soul lives, seeing the Lord has withholding thee from coming to shed blood, In other words, I know you're coming to kill. The Lord stopped it. Did the Lord stop it yet? No. Did David stop yet? No. But he said, you stopped. Isn't that a good prayer? First on himself, on herself. It's all my fault. Second, expose the situation exactly it is. And thirdly, lead him to understand, well, you go to the wrong person, but it's not your fault. And fourthly, well, you are so mad, you're going to kill. You know, the Lord is here. And he stopped this killing, isn't it? Oh, well, I tell you, I wish some of us can be that bright in our prayer. Our prayer is either begging or accusing. You know what I mean? Either begging, Lord Jesus, we don't have, Lord, resources, give it to us, Lord, we want you, please. Or we accusing, right? Lord, the church is so dead, it's all the elders. Elders are so, Lord, give us some good elders. We need good elders, brother. What are you trying to say? Even Lord will keep on saying, what? What kind of language you speak? Is it English? He says, I never know this kind of English. That must be the English you invented. Oh, she really know how to pray. It's quite a sister. Quite a sister. And let thine enemies and that they seek evil to my Lord be as noble. But anyway, you didn't come here shed the blood and from avenge thyself with thine own hand. So let it go. And now this blessing which thy, verse 27, which thy handmaid has brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young man that follow my Lord. So he gave all the things. Well, this story always puzzles me. That is, she prayed so well, but it's only take care of once. How about next year? How about next month? Who knows this terrible husband will do what? Because he's so stupid, yet he's so wealthy. And most wealthy men, sorry, are very stupid. Do you realize that? The bright person cannot be wealthy. Do you understand that or not? Sister, do you understand? The bright person calculate too much. They cannot make it. Do you understand? Oh, but anyway, don't pass my word around. We have some millionaire brothers. They get mad at me. Then, eventually, I think it's good enough. Verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou. He's very moved. Very moved for what the sister has done, has said and has done, right? Which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God Israel lives, which has kept my back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me. Both, I can see a real spiritual sister speaking to a real spiritual man. The sister has such a good prayer. The man do not want to keep his face. You know, David could have said it. Don't you know it's a little bit too late? We have sold in our hand already. And don't you know that? When we take off our sword, blood got to be there. You know what I mean? With a knife, it's very common. If I fight, there got to be a result. We already take the sword. We are ready to fight. No, that was so good. David answered, This is marvelous. Then, so verse 35. So David received of her hands that which she had brought him. David receives the gift and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Right? So Abigail came to Nabal, and Nabal was drunk, so he wouldn't say a thing. He wouldn't say a thing. Until what? Until second morning, right? Verse 37. But it came to pass in the morning, that's the second morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, he wake up from his drinking. And his wife had told him these things, and his heart died within him. Eventually, You can see Nabal should be very fat. Heart attack come very easy. You know, these kind of people, you can see these kind of people, wealthy and stupid. What else can they be but overweight? You can see that. Then the wife told him, you know what you have done. So here he says, then the morning when the wine got out, when the wine gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, and his heart died within him. In other words, he just, wow, I can't believe it. I made such a mistake. Do you ever have that experience? Wow, this is scary. This is scary. What? His heart died within him, and he became as a stone. He just can't move. Then what? Then it came to pass about 10 days, the Lord smote Nabal and he died. He need to die. You know why? Because his wife should marry David. But do you realize the whole thing? So see, how God governmentally arranged the situation. You know, he was now he was in Paran, right? In a way, he came, we escaped, we out. He needed encouragement. And the Lord told him, seems the Lord told him, David, I'm still with you. I'm still with you. And prepared him, Abigail, this wife, his wife. I will have a message on the 8 wives of David. But if you want me to read the Bible like this, we will not have a chance for it. Do you understand? It's very interesting. If you study his 8 wives, you will see what is the church. Because all the wives represent the church. Because David represents Christ. If David typifies Christ, his wife has to typify Christ, the church. And these 8 wives are a sequence how eventually the church began with a little stream and end up with being in glory. Isn't that good? And Abigail is number 3. Praise the Lord for this. So now, in this terrible place, he got some beauty, eventually get some glory. Actually, I believe Nabal's riches are good enough to supply David for a while. You can see these people, right? On one hand, people all come to him, get perfected. Praise the Lord for that. On the other hand, be very practical. Everybody has to eat. So eventually, now David going back after this experience, going back to the wilderness of Ziph. Then this time he go back differently. The first time he go back, no one is trained. You know, in the cave of Adullam, I think he was there a little bit over a year. Over there in a short time, all the people came to him. They were not educated. They were not trained. Everything's floating. Nothing's secure. Nothing's peaceful. But now he has experienced not only Ziph, and more than what? Than anxiety. Not more than what? Than Paran. Then he came back again. You just consider, huh? It's just like a Christian life. Christian life grows in this way. You know, in our common thought, we thought we grow like that. Do you get my point? No. It is, you go up a little, then you go down. There's no exception. So appreciate the time you feel very hard. Because the readiness for higher up. Amen. Do you get my point or not? And appreciate the higher up because that's the time for you to go deeper down. You understand what I mean? In the beginning, it is like this. Eventually, of course, it's even. In other words, you don't live by this anymore. You are so one with Christ, up and down is no longer your issue. So you see, in a way, David was up, right? So the Lord bring him down. When the Lord bring him down, was down shortly. Where's that? The first place he escaped was Adullam, right? Yeah, went to Adullam. Then Adullam, then he went up because he conquered the city. He conquered the city. He saw this can be his base. Then Saul came. And the Lord told him, the people is going to sell you, betray you. So he went down again. This time he went down. Do you realize, there are three steps down. Number one, he go to Ziph. Am I right? Number two, he go to Engedi. Number three, he come to Paran. So when you come to Sodom, on one hand, all the beauty, no, all the outward things were cut off. There's no more chance to love the world. There's no more chance to enjoy life. Everything is in a low place, but the Lord bring you back again. Ziph is here. You are in Ziph again. Do you get my point? But when you come up, now you're very different. You have so much to back this experience. Same place. The first time, you were scared. The second time, you have a lot of assurance. You understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm talking about, the sister? You have that SAT. The first SAT is done. So bad, the second SAT. If you say, Lord, please let it be bad again, it will go, whoa. Then don't be scared. Then you will be, whoa. You see how good that is. I say, you miss that opportunity. So now you should pray, Lord, send me to a community college. I know it's impossible. You won't answer it. Your parents will say, Titus, speak nonsense. someone will say, you can get into Northwest. Why don't you go to that kind of school? Well, follow the Lord. It's not easy. People are so filled with selections, yet they declare they are for Christ. But anyway, they go back to Ziph. Then, you know, here this time, he has a bonus to get into Saul's camp. And this time, of course, he found Saul was asleep, sleeping, right? So he take the spear and the cruse of the water near Saul's head. Then what? Then blessed by Saul. You know, it was interesting. Let me read the verse to you again. Now, we come to chapter 26. You know, if you understand Chinese, that would be very easy for me. Because I can read Chinese to you. Chapter 26, verse around 12, right? Well, let's go. Let's go with verse 6. Right? You saw verse 6? Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai, right? The son of what? Brother to Job, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? He needs a companion, the camp. And what? Abishai said, I will go down with you. Isn't he the one runs fast? Another one runs fast, not him. Anyway, so he says, I go with you. And they come to the people, verse 6, verse 7. Come to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay asleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, and Abner and the people lay round about him. It's quite a... Do you get my point or not? Here, you see the tent, right? Saul sleeping right in the middle. All the generals, all the soldiers live around him. So they have to go like this, right? Do you get my point or not? Until they get to Saul, then the interesting thing comes, right? What verse is it now? Verse 8. Then said Abishai to David, God has delivered the enemy into the hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray you, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. In other words, you know, here's right. I just pick up. That's it. No need for the second time. Well, God really had put Saul in his hand. Am I right? Or God really allowed temptations come to his hand. Should he kill him or not? Let me ask you, if you were him, if you were David, would you kill him or not? Amen. Who said amen? Well, I tell you honestly, brother, let's not be spiritual pretending. I possibly will kill him. My feeling is very simple. If I get punishment, that's later. Let's get this deal over with. This is too much headache. I go here, he chases me. I go there, he chases me. I do this, he beat me up. I do that. I'll pray to the Lord. God, I don't know this right or wrong. Maybe terribly wrong. But I like get over to have a fresh start of your punishment. At least get this over, right? It's too tiring for people. Just can't believe it. But even at this time, after verse 8, and David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against Lord's anointed and be guiltless? He was very clear. You know, since God anointed him, only God is responsible for him. And he's only answering to God. Oh, the realization of David, how I must have God, not only applied to him, but also apply in the realization of other men. He said he's anointed by God, so God has to be responsible. Because of this, he took the sword, spear, and he took what? The water, right? And they took the water, and then verse 12, right? And so David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they get them away, and no man saw it, not knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. So eventually, God makes them sleep. I like that. Many times he said, praise the Lord, he got saved. Actually, the Bible is recording this way, for God has already opened his heart. Whatever I say, he will not receive the Lord. The Bible will say, for the Lord has hardened his heart for the training of the speaking brother. Don't you have a Lord like this? Or you always give, we got to learn, brother. I like it. I don't know you like it. Do you like it or not? I really like it. God is really there in everything. Then verse 14. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answer thou not, Abner. Then Abner answered and said, who are you? The Christ to the king. He doesn't know his king's just about gone. Who are you? You can see some of the I better not say too much. But anyway, and David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. In other words, what a stupid general you are. He never rebuked Saul. You know what I mean? He should have said, right? Ha, 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 ha. So go home. Don't go after me anymore. Let me tell you, you're not going to make it. I know my God will not let you make it. He should have said, there's a, so don't you know how stupid you are? That you can sleep that sound? That I can take the armor away from you and the water away from you. Armor is for fight. Water is for living. So you can't fight. You can't live. Everything's in my hand. And then he should have said, right? Ha ha. So go home. He didn't. He didn't even touch. So he tell the generals, you stupid. You should protect the king. You don't know how to protect him. You are more than stupid. He's my student. But anyway, and so he rebuked him, right? And eventually, and Saul knew, verse 17, and Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? He was very, very moved now. Very, very moved. He knew that his life was gone twice. This is the second time, right? But his life was preserved because David's honoring God. So he said, where is that? Verse 17, right? Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my Lord, O King. Do you like this? Do you like this? He still called him my Lord, O King. I like it. Brother, if you say that, my elder's no good. Let me tell you, on the whole globe, there's no place elder is good. If you say my serving one's no good, then let me tell you, on the whole globe, not one place the serving one is good. You have to realize God is over all. Then, now therefore, O king, and he said, wherefore do my Lord thus pursue after his servants? For what have I done? What evil is in mine hand? I did what evil? What did I do? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my Lord thy king hear the word of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. In other words, if the Lord gets you to get me, I like to make an offer to the Lord, sacrifice. If somebody gets you to get me, then he was not polite, right? Then he said, for they have driven me out of this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Eventually, I cannot even stay in this country. I have to be with Gentiles. Now, therefore, let not my blood fall. Well, it's good enough. Do you like the story or not? Do you like it? Do you understand how profound they are? Till the end, you know, he never even blamed Saul with a word. As if God made you do it, I like to offer a sacrifice. If man made it you, then let them be responsible. I didn't do a thing wrong. Why you have to curse, follow me like this? So then Saul, let's read verse 25. Huh? That's the concluding. Then Saul said to David, together, blessed be thou, my son David, thou shalt boast do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. So finally it's over, right? Don't you believe it should be over? I mean, he called him my son. And he also said, bless you. Not only he said, you will be king. He even said, I bless you now. Right? The whole thing should be over. But brother, religion can be over only in 5 minutes. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know, religious people were caught with ideology. When they are for a certain ideology, they can kill all the Christians just for their ideology. If you read the church history, if you read these 2,000 years, what's happened among the Jesus lovers, you will be surprised how harmful can religion become to the children of God. You know, when Darby was a leader among the brethren, right? He passed away in 1880-some. You know, in a few years, the whole service was formed into, today we call it, a close brother. And the leader has cast away, leaders group has cast away the one who produced the collective work of Darby. You know, Darby has a set, the collective work of Darby, I have a set. By whom? By William Kelly. William Kelly knew Darby so well. Even many historians say, William Kelly have a universal mind, is a great man, with a universal mind, but caught with Darbyism. You know, no one know Darby, appreciate Darby more than William Kelly. Because he did the collective work of Darby. Do you get my point? Yet he was chased away, not allowed to stay with David's followers. Why so? Religion. When religion become ideology, and the ideology replace Christ, people will do everything to preserve that ideology. Whether there's Christ, there's no Christ, it's for Christ, it's not count at all. We are for that ideology. We'll come to that later. So because of that, he has to escape again. So Roman numeral 6, I escaped to Philistine, I remained there until Saul took a sword and fell upon it. In other words, until Saul killed himself. Eventually, he's God's anointed. So eventually, he said, I cannot let people kill me. I'm defeated. Let me kill myself. Do you get my point? And David said in his heart, the verse, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of Philistines. Do you remember? Remember he went to, Samuel? Then he came back to see Jonathan. Then he went to a Philistine city and become mad. Right? That began the journey, right? He went down to Adullam. Adullam somewhat here. Then with all the journey, now he came back to Ziphus with a victory. After that, he still realized, no matter what Saul say, Saul will still go after him. So he went to what? To the old king again, the first place. But there's a big difference. You want me to tell the difference? There's a big difference, huh? So let me read it to you. And Saul shall despair. Escape into the land of Philistine, and Saul shall despair of me and seek me, and to seek me anymore in any cause of Israel. Saul shall escape out of his hand. She took a sword. No, that's Saul. Saul take a sword. Well, I didn't see that. He went to whom? That's chapter 27, right? Sorry, huh? We have to read it. Where is that? Verse 2. Can anyone of you read it? Nathan, can you read it? Verse 2. 27:2. Stand up and read it.
And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him at Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him.
So now he's in Gentile now. Do you get my point or not? In other words, now finally he get a job. You understand what I mean? Now he's in the world. Then verse 5.
And David said to Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country. There I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day.
So he got a city. Okay, I'll tell you the difference. Huh? Are you okay? Huh? This is hard stories. But you are okay, right? I will laugh. You know why I will laugh? You love me, I appreciate. Whether you're okay or not, you say amen, amen. Well, brother, remember he first time went? That's by himself, right? With little experience of escaping. Then from there, he pretend to be mad. He went to Adullam, right? In Adullam, he finds strength, and he began to testify, only Christ. That's why he said, taste and see that the Lord is good. Am I right? From Adullam, he goes through Cephas, he goes through Engedi, he went through Paran, he go up to Cephas. Do you get my point? No, he go back to the same king again, very differently. Formerly, as a college graduate, he get a job, he has to pretend to be mad. I mean that. You used to think about it. When you were just a young man, college graduates, you work a little bit, did you? Yeah, you have the experience of loving the world. Am I right? So you get a job a little bit. I think out of John Myers' coach. John Myers in control of everyone, everything. But anyway, in Columbus. Am I right or not? Yeah. You know, at that time, there's nothing you have established with in dealing with the situation. You are just young. So whatever the boss wants you to do, you don't know how to fight. You don't know how to argue. Whatever the assignment given to you, you have to take it. You have to work very hard. Even they tell you you need a little social life. You have to force yourself into some parties. Do you get my point or not? So you quit your job. You go to one of the two cities to be trained. After a couple years, 1 or 2 years, you go back again. You know, there's 600 men behind you. So you go, you don't have to be mad. I come to you. King, do you get it or not? Behind me, there are 600 men. And they are a little experienced fighters. They know how to do the job in Caleb. They almost killed Nabal. Ha ha. King. So then you go to the world. The world become under you. When you are very experienced, you go to the world. The world take advantage of you in every way. In 1992 or 93, Lord, cover me to testify this. The rumors, the talks were so much. Eventually, in much prayer, I realized I got to work. You know, brother, not many brothers even know I worked. I worked for a whole year. Not even many brothers know. Because there's a conference, I'm in the conference. Because there's a shepherding, I'm in shepherding. Because there's a labor, I'm labor. I never let my work delay my service a bit. And I'm very thankful because that year was really peaceful. I haven't heard a word about me. Everyone was saying, Titus loves the world now. And they didn't realize behind me there are 600 men. And then I said, oh, how can I be with you? You better give me a city. You know what does it mean? You know what that mean? Give me what you have, let it belong to me because I am of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that good? I like the second time. I don't like the first time. Go there scared. Then pretending to be mad. Let the slaves come to the beer. And writing things on the wall in nonsense. The second time, after he's so trained, being through all these experiences, he went again with 600 men. On one hand, he's still escaping from Saul because religion became his biggest enemy. On the other hand, he went to Gentile as a king. I come to a king as a king. Therefore, let me tell you, king, give me one city. Yet his word is so nice. How can I be with you in your palace? Do you get my point or not? How can I be with you in this royal city? Just give me a city. You know, no king wants to give anybody a city. But they look at the shoulder over there, 600 men. Yeah. There's a place called what? Whatever that, Ziklag. Huh? Ziklag. There's a city, Ziklag. Go. Please, go. You stay in the city. Make me scared. I like it. In escaping, he won the victory. He was defeated, right? By Saul. Yet he won the honor among Gentiles. He was defeated in religion, but he was respected by others. How good that is. Do you like it or not? Do you understand what I'm talking about, the young sister? Oh, Lord Jesus. Are you a high schooler?
No, college.
You're in college? What year are you in?
Second degree. I already have a degree. I'm getting a second degree.
You have a degree already? Are you a Chinese or Japanese? Yeah, you. I'm talking about you. You, yeah.
I just graduated.
College or high school, junior high?
College.
So you are Chinese. You see the good part with Chinese? They always look like junior high until they're 35. Well, then you should somewhat understand. Are you getting a job? Why don't you go to the city? But don't be pressured. Feel free to follow the Lord. Why don't you go to preach gospel? Why? I know, let me answer for you. Never think about it. Because that's not our culture. Our culture is get a good grade. Go to good university. Go to good graduate school. Make your parents face golden-ish. Is that English? Like I like to say, my daughter is MD, PhD. My face. I'm all right. My son-in-law, Harvard PhD. My son-in-law, community college, non-graduate. And my daughter couldn't go through high school. This is Chinese. American was saying this. Nothing, you stupid Chinese. Chinese are not too wise. They overly focus on these things. So your father planned your life already? Oh, yeah, not already, but somewhat. I know that even my daughter, I'm a very liberal father, very free. Even that I can see how precious Melody has been. She's so precious. Sometimes I even tell her, I say, young daughter, you give the pressure to yourself. But she had the feeling, if I fail my father, if I couldn't go to certain school, if I couldn't get a certain degree, then, you know, sister, remember this. Are you going to get a job or go to graduate school?
I'm getting a job while I study.
Hey, that's unusual because you're supposed to go to graduate school. You're a Chinese.
I'm doing my chartered accountancy.
Huh? You're doing a job as an accountant, right? Oh, they'll take advantage of you. You have to pretend to be mad. You have to let this life come to your beer even if you don't have one. Until what? Until you are so trained spiritually. And then you walk into the world. You are with the world. Yet they have no effects on you. You know that. I come to you. Yet I can demand of you. How good that kind of life is. So many young people. Second generation. Hopeful young people. Get a job. Get a little promotion. Come to the airplane. Oh, they're happy. My company sent me to Burma. I don't think the country is still called Burma.
Myanmar.
It's called what?
Myanmar.
Myanmar?
Myanmar.
That's too awful. That's too ugly. But anyway, my company sent me. I say, how long is the flight? And not so long, 26 hours. My feeling was, oh, you're stupid. You should fly for Christ. That is the only thing worth it.
Amen.
Don't let the company abuse you. Abuse your person. Abuse your talent. Rather, you say, Lord, I want to follow you. By following you, I would get a lot of riches in life. A lot of equipping in truth. A lot of ability in operation. Amen. Then I will get a job. The job will be under me. I'm not under him. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Don't you like this?
Amen.
Don't you like this?
Yeah.
When I was a professor, It just varied one semester. I tell you, when I give my class, it's not 150. At least 100 brothers and other department kids come to listen to my lecture because I preach Bible to them. Everything is Bible. Brother, I'm happy about it. Eventually, you know what the department head told me? He said, Mr. Chu, I don't know what's happened. When you teach us for that half year, the moral standard of the department different. He told me in person. He said, can you come back to teach again? I said, oh, yeah, I can. Then I see Brother Lee. Brother Lee says, I heard you were teaching in university. I said, yeah, just one course, the Bible. You know, so I feel that's very good. I preach gospel, right? Brother Lee says, professor, you teach as a professor? I know what does it mean, right? That means you stupid, you stupid. So I quit it. I quit it. I'm very happy. I'm very happy because when you go to the world, there's something behind you. When I work in the library, a case. On one hand, I'm very happy. I'm not reserved. I'm not a case. I'm proud of it. Number two, the first year I was there, the director looked at me. I couldn't believe there's such a young man. He couldn't believe it. So he quickly promoted me to be the head of department. Then changed another boss. Quickly promoted me even higher. So the first year, I was an instructor. The second year, I was assistant professor. The third year, I was associate professor, but I don't teach. You know what? It's a status. My status was associate professor. That's pretty good. How many associate professors here raise up your hand? Then, of course, you can ask, how many of you, Titus, have you ever teach any class? I said, no, that was only in Taiwan. I teach some. Brother, you know something? My boss left. When he left, he said something interesting. He said, Titus, he called Mr. Chu. He said, Mr. Chu, I will become a director of Ball State University. You know, Indiana has four state universities. I will go to Ball State University. I'll be director of library there. I will create a position for you. Isn't that good? I said, oh, yeah. So I prayed, and Lord says, be a full-timer, right? So I quit my job. After I quit my job, he called me. He said, Mr. Chu, come. Everything's ready. I said, sir, his name is Supit. I said, Dr. Supit, sorry. He's really a doctor. He's a doctor. I said, Dr. Supit, sorry. I just quit my job. I'm now serving the Lord full time. You know what he said? What? Have I called you? No. How long have I been a full-timer? I said, 1 or 2 weeks. It's just at that juncture. How what? Have I called you a couple weeks before? Would you come? I said, I don't know. Because if you told me, I would have to pray about it. You know, brothers, I'm so happy. I'm under them. I'm hired by them. I get a salary from them, but I walk over them. Because I am a son of God.
Amen.
A servant of Christ.
Amen.
Now, with all this retreating experience, the escaping experiences, eventually, he go back to the place. He first really tried to take refuge. Right? At that time, he become very different. He says, give me a city. And he got the city. Do you love this? Shouldn't you tell the Lord, Lord, I just don't like to live a nominal life. What does nominal mean?
In name,
okay. So let's change it. I don't want to live a name. I live past my days, live a life, which is so common. I like my Christian life be so romantic.
Amen.
I go up, I go down. I have enemies, I also have encouragement. When I go through all this, eventually, Lord, when I'm serving you, I'll be manifest. When I get a job, I will be different because I am, wherever, a servant of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Do you like that?
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Keep us such a life.
Amen.
But at the same time, I say we go very slow. So there's a possibility. Tuesday morning, we'll have two sessions. We will need two sessions. Well, let's see if I can rush it. I can rush fast enough to get it over. Can we have one brother pray, close the meeting?